This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Good afternoon, Malcolm Campbell.
Good afternoon, Warren. Very busy weekend and very busy day today.
Very busy today.
Yes.
We're going to talk sport. We're going to get an update very shortly on what's happened.
We will.
Over the weekend and the past week.
Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
But over the past few decades, there have been great strides in sport becoming a more inclusive, welcoming and safe space for the rainbow community. There are a huge number of sporting codes and organisations working hard to counter homophobia and transphobia in sport, and increasingly holding coaches, fans and players to account. Bo Newell is National Program Manager from Pride in Sport, joins us to talk through a watershed moment that occurred during an AFL match last week. The penalty laid down by the AFL, the reaction from the public and the impact on the LGBTIQA+ community. Bo, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hi, Warren. Malcolm, thanks for having me.
Can you share with us what took place last week and your opinion on the stance taken by the AFL?
Yeah, sure. So in a nutshell, there was a player in the Gold Coast team, Will Powell, who was suspended for 5 matches for using a homophobic slur during the match. Now, this is unfortunately just a couple of weeks after Port Adelaide's player, Jeremy Finlayson, was also suspended for a homophobic slur. And also during the preseason, we saw Alistair Clarkson from North Melbourne fined a significant amount of money also for homophobic comments. And look, to say it's disappointing would be an understatement. I think this is a really challenging space, particularly for those in the LGBTQ community, because we see this all too often. And it's not just AFL. This is every sport. It happens all the time. I think what's really interesting about this case, and in fact for the AFL, is that these cases are very public, and that's why we're hearing about it a lot more.
Bo, I'm an Essendon fan, and so Jeremy Finlayson made a homophobic slur against one of my players. But it was interesting, the penalty Will Powell got was 5 weeks compared to Jeremy's 3 weeks, because Jeremy had just done it, and everyone should have learned from that. And so they made Will Powell more of an example by giving him a higher penalty. He addressed the media with an apology after that and shared it on the Gold Coast Suns Insta feed. Do you think that was a strong enough response from the club in relation to what he did?
Look, in terms of the video, no, I don't think so. And I'm not saying that to be pessimistic or sceptical, but I actually think there's always more that clubs can do. And it was interesting. I was talking with my team about this recently, and it's one thing for an athlete to come out and be recorded to, you know, share their apology with their community and their fans and everything else. But we also started thinking about how powerful would it have been if the CEO was also on that video and said, you know what, because of this, we are going to do X, Y, and Z. Now, that might have been shared in, you know, previous media interviews with the CEO afterwards, but there's always more that the clubs can do, absolutely.
Now, some comments on the Gold Coast Suns Instagram feed about Will's video did support the ban. However, there were a lot of, you know, standard comments there as well. Should the club be held to account and taking steps to educate their fans, especially on social media, about why words do matter and what is said?
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is a really interesting part, right? Because when we have these incidents happen, everyone goes to, what is the AFL doing? What's the league doing in this space? But if you actually take a step back and you understand that every club is their own business, they have their own CEOs, their own way of operating, and they are responsible for the way that they operate. And that includes the way that they engage with their fans. So they absolutely have a place and a role to play here. And I think this is really, you know, the call to action now is to say to all clubs, not just Gold Coast, North Melbourne or Port Adelaide, but say to all of them, say, you need to step up. And this is actually the part where me and my team at Pride in Sport are here to try and help them. So.
Yeah, well, you know, let's say they say he has to go off and do a course. I think Jeremy Finlayson had to do that, you know, a pride awareness course or something like that. Does the course, but look, is he going to reoffend? Probably. And will others reoffend? Probably, because, you know, they just say, oh, I'll do a course because that's the penalty. But it's really, I don't know, you've got to get through them, and you've got to even start with the younger younger players in under nines, in under 15s, and under 18s, so that they don't say it as a young person compared to when they're an older person. Now, what are your thoughts about how the media reported the incident? Is the significance fully understood by media outlets as to how these behaviours at the elite level flow right across the sport and negatively impact LGBTIQA plus participation in sport and society?
Well, there's a lot there to unpack, isn't there? I think first and foremost, though, that, you know, for me, I've always worked in the, you know, preventative health space. And so if we want to make sure that these acts don't happen again, we need to make sure that we have accurate preventative measures in place. And education is a critical part of this. And I think this is actually where the media also comes into play, right? Because, you know, if whether it's media outlets or clubs themselves, if they're not educated, if they don't have a greater understanding of this space and the impact that homophobia can have on the LGBTQ plus community, then they're already starting on the back foot. And so this is where education is probably the biggest part of this. And, you know, we've gone past having the once and done type of education with sports. You know, that used to be the case for years, you know, when they just wanted to tick the box. But now, if we actually want to change the culture, which is really the big conversation here, we need to make sure that everyone is educated, from fans to athletes, all the way to the people running the front desk at the office.
The AFL's got a national partnership with Pride in Sport. On the back of this latest incident, Bo, is the AFL doing enough to combat homophobia in the sport?
No. And they know that, and we know that, but it's not necessarily a negative thing. And I say that because sports can always do more, and the AFL knows this. I think what's really important to acknowledge for the AFL, and this certainly isn't patting them on the back too much, but they have come a long way. And I say that because this isn't new. Homophobic incidences in sport aren't new for us. They've been around for a long time. It's just that the AFL is actually now calling them out, whereas years ago they didn't. So they are taking steps in the right direction, which is great. But we do need to see more. But as I said earlier too, it's not just the AFL's responsibility here. We actually need the clubs to step up because there's a role for everyone to play.
Yeah, and also the players. You know, seeing people get 3 and 5 weeks, the players want to play and they're embarrassed really by getting 5 weeks off or 3 weeks off for saying something because they really want to play. So maybe it will curb their behaviour, hopefully. Now, it's comforting to hear that Max Gawn, an ally of our community and the captain of Melbourne, is reported to have said that after 3 incidents this year, it's embarrassing to call himself an AFL player and that he supports escalating punishments for homophobic language.
And I agree. I think he's actually said a really good point here, and this is not just the AFL, this is all sports. I think if we're still seeing homophobic, biphobic and transphobic incidences happen in sport, we need to escalate the sanctions. Is that going to prevent things? Potentially not, but hopefully it's enough deterrent to actually stop people or actually make people think about what they're trying to say or what they want to say on field. And, you know, I think this is just the start of the journey. And I hate to say that because it is a little bit of a cliche, but there is still so much more that the league needs to do. And we just need more people like Max, to be totally honest, to actually step up and show us, you know, what a good ally looks like.
Bo, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive.
Thank you. Cheers.
Bo Newell, the National Program Manager at Pride in Sport. And Pride in Sport is a national not-for-profit sporting inclusion program specifically designed to assist sporting organisations of all levels with the inclusion of employees, athletes, coaches, volunteers and spectators with diverse sexualities and genders.
Joy Drive.
Malcolm, yes. Now it's time for you. Give us your update. What happened in sport?
Well, you know, the biggest sporting event on the weekend was Eurovision.
Oh,
no, it's a competition.
It's true.
It's a competition. It's dog eat dog, I tell you.
Did you watch it?
Of course I did. I watched it on delay. I taped it.
Right.
You know, I'm old fashioned. I wasn't getting up at 5 a.m.
You taped it?
Well, on my... I can't say how, but, you know, I have a stream...
On your VHS video recorder.
No. On a streaming service.
Right.
But I'm not giving its name because we don't do that.
No.
So I did. I'm able to record it on a hard drive as part of my subscription. And it's on SBS. So I watched it later in the day, like from about midday onwards.
Had you heard though?
No, I media banned myself.
Oh, great.
No social media, no listening to the media, nothing.
Nothing.
So I media banned myself and my husband knew, but he didn't tell me.
Oh, isn't
he good? He's good. So it was very controversial. Like Australia didn't even make the final.
I know. That was a shame.
Oh, look, Eurovision's all about kitchen camp and Australia did an indigenous song and it gave that indigenous, and I think the rest of Europe doesn't care, which is, sounds terrible, but about our history. They're more interested in us just getting there and having fun. And a lot of the other acts were a bit like that. And so we didn't make the final on the public vote. But in the final, the favourite was the favourites were Croatia, Switzerland, and Ireland. And a couple of dark horses came up, Italy and France. But in the end, Switzerland won. And the Swiss performer, forgotten his name right now, was non-binary, and the Irish Fantastic. Performer was also non-binary. Now, she changed her name. It was something like, I can't remember. But ABBA appeared. The avatars of ABBA appeared because it's 50 years since ABBA won.
Wasn't the real ABBA, though.
No, they weren't. But it's the avatars. They won't have the one in London, you know, at the show there. The one that might be
potentially coming here.
Yeah. So, no, it was fun, full of, and there were protests outside because Israel were in there and the Palestinians outside were protesting. Then Dutch competitor got disqualified for allegedly threatening a camera person, and so it was full on. The Dutch person refused to sit next to the Israeli at the press conference and things like that, and some competitors were threatening to pull out.
It's quite political.
Oh yeah, and some of the, you know how they have a person from each country reading out the votes for their country, some of them dropped out and there were last minute replacements.
Drama.
Anyway, full on, but congratulations to Switzerland.
It's fantastic. Let's move on because we're running out of time.
I know we are, so we've got to be quick.
Women's Super Netball.
The results over the weekend were that the West Coast Fever thrashed the Adelaide Thunderbirds 94-58. The Melbourne Mavericks went down 37-59 to the Adelaide Thunderbirds. Now, in the big controversy of the round, the Gold Coast Lightning and the GWS Giants, there was potentially a win by 1 point to one of the teams. I've forgotten which one, and the scoreboard said so. But one of the teams complained and said, no, that's not right. And they rechecked the scores, and it was a draw. And so they then had to come back on after all the fans had left and play extra time, and GWS won 86-80. But what the Sunshine Coast Lightning said was, we thought we were playing for a draw, and if we knew that we were in front by 1 point or something, we would have played for the win or something like that. Or actually, no, they thought they were winning, and so they tried to just play keepings off and not to let the other side get the ball and score a goal. But if they knew they were having a draw, they would have played attacking netball.
Oh.
So very controversial. Anyway.
The strategy would have changed.
And in the final match, the Melbourne Vixens 61 over New South Wales Swifts 59.
NRL,
right. NRL, we had a win to the Gold Coast Titans over the North Queensland Cocktail Cowboys, 28.
Your favourite team.
I know, this is the name. The Sydney Roosters, 38, virtually doubled the New Zealand Warriors, 38-18, actually did double them. Our Melbourne Storm went down to the Cronulla Sharks, 25-18. St George Illawarra Dragons, 28, doubled the South Sydney Rabbitohs, 14. The West Tigers, 14, went down to Newcastle Knights, 20. And then finally, what happened to my scores? Then the Brisbane Broncos 30 beat the Parramatta Eels 14. And the Redcliffe Dolphins 30 just beat the Manly Sea Eagles 24. And then another close one, the Penrith Panthers 16 over the Canterbury Bulldogs 10.
Very quickly, A-League soccer.
A-League soccer. Well, we're into the finals now.
Are we?
Yes. And so we had the Melbourne Victory, nil all in their semi against Wellington Phoenix. And in the other semi, the Central Coast Mariners 2 over Sydney 1. And then they play a return game next week, remember? All right. And what's my last topic?
AFL, quickly.
AFL. Oh, AFL. Well.
Just tell us who's on the bottom of the ladder.
No. We have to say that my Essendon Bombers are now third on the ladder after having a great win over GWS. So that's very important. We're third on the ladder. Carlton beat Melbourne in a thriller by 1 point. Then Port Adelaide beat Geelong in a thriller by a goal. And then Sydney thrashed, I can't read that in my eyes. I think that's Fremantle 87-39. Then in another close one, Hawthorn beat St Kilda by 5 in Launceston. Essendon beat GWS by 20 points. I went to that game. Now, your team, Richmond, are not doing well.
No.
They got thrashed by 91 points by the Western Bulldogs. I'm sorry.
I don't mind at all. I like it that they're losing.
Gold Coast Suns. Well, because they're near the bottom. And Gold Coast Suns beat North by 66. And then in another thrashing, Collingwood beat West Coast by 66. And then there was another draw this week. Adelaide and Brisbane, 90 all. So on the bottom, you want to know, again, is still North. They haven't won a game.
Okay.
Richmond is second bottom, though.
There you go. We're nearly there.
Yeah, I know.
Malcolm, did you watch the Aurora, the lights?
No,
the
I didn't. Weekend?
You didn't watch it?
Oh, I'm the only person that never watched the Aurora.
Coming up next, we're going to find out all about it.
Okay, I'll listen.
Astrophysicist Sarah Webb, who was all over international TV on the weekend talking about it. We've got her here live on Joy Drive. That is coming up. What song are we playing?
We're playing, because we're talking about it last week, but we played something else. We are playing Glee. Don't stop believing.
You going to dance?
No, because I've got to go to the gym.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Malcolm.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.